shoes and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
It says Jesus, he's in his last week on earth. He's going to be crucified at the end of the week. And he was up in Bethany. Bethany's about two miles outside of Jerusalem. And when he's in Bethany, we assume he's staying with his friend Lazarus in the house of Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. You know those names. And so that's where he stays, and he comes down into Jerusalem. And he went into the temple. It says right here in verse 12, he went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. It's a great, great verse because it does show us that Jesus Christ gets angry. He gets angry at times at certain things. And at this point, he was in the court of the Gentiles. It's called the court of the Gentiles. It's a patio outside around the temple, and it's where pilgrims and people from other countries would come, and they were only allowed into the court of the Gentiles, and they would be there, and that's where they were supposed to be taught about Yahweh. They were supposed to be taught about God there, because they're coming from countries where, you know, it's just filled with idolatry. They'd never heard of God in terms of the Jewish God, Yahweh. And so the court of the Gentiles was set up to be able to minister to the Gentiles and to teach them the ways of God. And the high priests and so forth set up tables out there where they sold sacrificial animals. They sold lambs and doves and so forth to the people who came from great distances who were coming to the temple and wanted to make an offering. They didn't bring the doves with them. They didn't travel for many miles with, you know, carrying doves. They figured, I'll just go and buy them when I get there. So when they got there to buy the doves or the lamb or whatever other animal they could afford, that was, you know, acceptable in the sacrifices, they were charged outlandish prices. They were charged, you know, way above what it would cost. So they were being cheated, and that was the picture that a wandering, you know, a curious Gentile who wants to learn about God comes to this place, and he sees people getting cheated and people being taken for granted and so forth. And it was such a misrepresentation of God. And that's what angered Jesus. It was a misrepresentation of who God is. And so you can see one of the things that does anger him is misrepresenting him. Now, we know he's reserved his anger until, you know, the time of the great tribulation, and then, of course, the time of the white throne judgment and so forth. He's reserved his anger until then. But we see that this makes him angry, to misrepresent who God is, to have a message that misrepresents him, angers him. And so, you know, usually you get the picture of Jesus as very quiet and meek and so forth. And he was like that much of the time. But there were things that angered him, and hypocrisy did. The Pharisees got him hot under the collar. I don't know if he had a collar on his tunic or not, but he was hot under the tunic. when he was dealing with Pharisees and stuff, who were just misrepresenting who God was and what God was all about. And so that's the deal in verse 12. In verse 13, he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Of course, they weren't praying. They were dealing. They were charging the Gentiles retail, not wholesale. And thy house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He's quoting from Isaiah 56:7. He's quoting from the Old Testament. He said, this was already written beforehand. You're going to make my house a house of a den of thieves. And that was fulfillment of Isaiah, what Isaiah said. So then verse 14, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The blind and the lame came, and he healed them. And that's always the case. The blind, and we think of the physically blind, the physically lame, but also the spiritually blind. Spiritually blind people come to Jesus. We come when before we were made new, as the song said this morning, before we became Christians, we were totally blind. We were in darkness. We only had one viewpoint, and that was a very worldly viewpoint. We had the viewpoint that the world gave us, and we know who orchestrates the world. And so that was our viewpoint. But when we came to Christ and we saw the light, and then we kept coming. It's not just coming, but it's coming and keep on coming. We keep on coming to him. We keep on coming to his word, and we keep on coming to the light. And we add light to light so that we end up having a different viewpoint of life around us. We have a godly viewpoint or a spiritual viewpoint or a godly perspective, however you want to say it, a biblical viewpoint, instead of a worldly viewpoint. The blind always need to come to him if they're going to see. And then not only that, but then the lame can walk. We really don't know how to walk with God until we can see. So it's a person who is brand new in the faith, they need to sit and receive light so that they can learn to walk and have the strength to walk that comes from him. And so, because right away when you're a brand new Christian, you try to walk on your own. You know, you read verses, do this, do that, and you jump up and you're going to go do it, and you fail. And that's part of the learning process. It's like a little baby that gets up, tries to walk, falls down. And they learn. They learn. But it's the blind and the lame always come to him, always come to his word, always come to his people, you guys, the church, in order to learn to see and learn to walk with him. And it says that he heals them. Then verse 15, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and there was children crying out in the temple. There was little kids in the temple, and they were crying, but not because they didn't get their own way. They were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. These little children were probably more teenage level, and they were acknowledging that this man, Jesus, was in fact the Son of David. And that means he's the Messiah, because the Son of David was in prophecy that he would be the Messiah. So they're saying the Messiah is here. Hosanna, save us now. That's what Hosanna means. Save us now. And the reason they did that, and the reason they did that later, when he would come into Jerusalem and they threw the palm trees down and he was riding on the donkey and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. They said, save us now. What were they enthusiastic about, really? I mean, we sing Hosanna for a song, and we actually have a different meaning to it than what they had. We are worshiping God with it. They were looking for the Messiah to deliver them from Rome. Save us now. Deliver us from the Roman oppression. Take the Roman boot off our neck so we can have a country that once again prospers. What are they thinking? Jesus, deliver us from Rome so we can prosper. We want to prosper like we did before. We want our country to be like the days of Solomon, where everybody, not only Solomon was wealthy, but the rest of us prospered. They were thinking of their prosperity. And they sang, Hosanna, save us now, Jesus. They had a political view instead of a spiritual view to it, as you do today, and realizing that he came to deliver you from sin and death, to give you an eternity in heaven. So then verse 16, he said to them, do you not hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Or they said to Jesus, don't you hear what they're saying to you? This is blasphemy. Don't you hear it? Shut them up. Jesus said to them, yes, I hear them. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants? You have perfected praise. Now, what is he? Where is he quoting that from? And where he quotes it from is a little bit different. And this is how Jesus translates it. He quotes it from Psalm 8 and verse 2. You have established strength because of your enemies, that you might keep that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. It says, you have given these things to babes and nursing infants that you can establish their strength because of your enemies. So what did he give them? Back up here in Matthew, the 16th verse, you have provided, I liked what the New American Standard says, you have provided perfect praise. What's he quoting from? You have established strength. He's connecting strength with praise. I love that. He's telling them that they are praising the Lord, and that establishes strength in their life. How do we deal with trials? How do we deal with problems? How do we deal with situations? We start praising God. Praising God is one of the tools we've been given to deal with life's pressures. Learning to praise them. Put on some praise music, sing along. You may not sound as good, but sing along. And maybe you can do it yourself. All I have to do is step into that shower and turn on the water, and I start singing. I don't understand that. I don't know why that is. Why is it showers make you sing? Somebody needs to tell me that. But for whatever it is,
the acoustics are better.
Maybe that's it. The acoustics. Maybe you're not cumbered about by clothing when you're in there. But just learning to sing, learning to praise Him, learning to be joyful in these situations. That's perfecting praise because it's establishing strength. Why do I need to establish my strength? Because of His enemy. It says, because of your enemies, God. Who are God's enemies? Satan and his demon armies. They are opposed to God. Why do they pick on you? Because they want to pick on you to get to Him.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward County.